Hey everybody, we are in a series on Sunday mornings for the month of December called I Choose. I Choose. Last week we talked about I Choose Love. How many know that's going to be a good choice to be making all during this month? I'm just going to choose to walk in love. Dad Hagen, who was a spiritual father to me at Bible school, we called him Dad Hagen, the founder of the Bible school. He said that if you walk outside of the umbrella of the protection of love, you're on the devil's territory. So we walk out of that way all the time. I tell you, we make decisions to not walk in love. We make decisions to talk about things that we probably shouldn't talk about, judgments and critical and all kinds of things. Anytime we walk out of love, we walk out from under the umbrella protection of God. So let me challenge you, choose to walk in love. Choose to act in love. Choose to stay in love. So all month long, we're looking at this series called I Choose. We'll be here again next week. And then the following week, we'll be on Christmas Eve, our Christmas service. So hope you're with us, and we'll finish that up at that time. Life really, you know, I think we'd all agree, life is really all about choices. You choose where you're going to live. You choose who you're going to marry. You choose who you're going to hang around with. You choose a career path. Life is all about choices, and probably you'd agree, I think you would, just like me. I've made some real good ones, and I've made some real bad ones. I made a choice one time when I was 20 years old, or 18, I think it was, 18. I told my dad, you know, I said, I want to buy a car, and so saved up my money, and so we went out looking for a car, and I found me a Jeep. Man, I had to have a Jeep. 1974 CJ5, big monster tires, 304 V8 engine. And my dad said, Gary, let me tell you what's going to happen with that Jeep. That Jeep's going to cost you a lot of money in repairs. It's going to cost you a lot of money. We got to get new tires. It's going to cost you a lot of money with gas. But I said, man, I want that. I choose that Jeep. I want that Jeep. He said, okay. But he said, make sure when you make that choice will make you. And sure enough, that choice I made cost me all kind of money as a kid. Let me tell you what. I put brake jobs in at time after, because I would go up in the mountains and go trail riding. I was a redneck. Come on, everybody. I'd go monster truck riding with some guys up in the mountains, and I'd tear it up. Transmission twice. I had to pay for it. You know, I'm making like $4 an hour or something like that. And man, every bit of money I had went to that Jeep. It was a bad, bad choice. But when it comes to spiritual things, just like everything in natural things, is that God's given us the option. God will never make you do anything. He'll lead you, He'll guide you, He'll direct you, but the finality of it is that the choice will be up to you. Our key scripture for the whole series is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Once you turn there, if you got a Bible or a phone, mark it down or you can follow it with us. Write some notes today because I believe some stuff will help you during the week and as you just think about what we're talking about. It says this, God talking to Moses. Moses is talking to the people here. I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today that I've set before you. Look at this. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Here's our phrase, choose, choose. Specifically, he says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Notice you have a choice. I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Well, how many know that's a no-brainer? Who chooses death? Who chooses cursing? Well, we do by not following God's will and God's way. Anytime we step out of the way of God, the word of God, the precepts of God, we're choosing something that God hasn't ordained for our life. So he says that God says, I'm not going to make the decision for you. I'm not going to make you do anything. You have a choice. You have a choice. Now, I've set this before you, specifically the nation of Israel, and it's for us as well. I've set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing. Then God says, hey, you know, choose life. Choose life. Let me tell you, choose wisely. Choose my way. Because he says the choice that you're making, notice, is going to be a blessing to you and your descendants, your kids after you. So again, many times that we make a decision and we choose things for ourselves, but how many know that choice that we make affects the people around us as well? Yeah. And so choices are very, very important. So we talked last week again about choosing love. I choose love. Well, this week we're going to talk specifically about that phrase, I choose life. I choose life. So let's talk about that for the few moments that we have together and talk about maybe some thoughts that you've not considered or maybe you've considered and forgotten about the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. Now, where it says here that I choose, set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. Choose life. When we talk about life, we want to talk just not about natural life, although we'll talk about it for a little bit, but really we want to talk about spiritual life and the importance of your and my life, it just doesn't revolve around living a natural existence. So let's just start in the book of Genesis and lay a groundwork and a foundation for about 4 points this morning. And we'll talk about something that's very important about how to stay in the life flow that God's given us consistently at the very end of the message. Is that all right? Number one, let's talk about it. God is the beginning of all life. God's the beginning of all life. If you have been inundated with secular society and education, you'll find in the education system, they do not believe this, that God is the beginning of all life. They believe in evolution. You're taught evolution in school. It's crammed down your throat. Parents and those that are in school, you better check yourself and you better make sure that you're not buying in, or can I say it this way, a negative connotation, drinking the Kool-Aid that they're trying to give you. Because God says God is the beginning of all life. Darwin, at the end of his life, disavowed his theory of evolution. He disavowed it. And yet it's still taught as this is the precept, this is the truth, this is the way. Listen to me. You need to realize that God is the beginning of all life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Here we find from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, we find that God gave man a physical body. He gave him mental life. He gave him spiritual life. All of that came from God the Father. You could read the rest of the account there in the book of Genesis, that God would actually come down and communicate and talk and have relationship and fellowship. Loved being around Adam. Loved being around Eve. And so we find out from the very beginning that this is what God did. God formed the first man. You didn't evolve from a monkey. You evolved from an ooze or a goose who started with a cataclysmic bang. You were made in the very image and the likeness of God. Can I get an amen up in here? Yeah. God is the beginning of all life. A scripture that many of us have read several times, but I want to remind you again this morning from Psalm 139. David writes this concerning his own life and concerning all life in chapter 139, beginning verse 13. "For you, God, formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." Verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you." David's talking to God. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret," notice this, "and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes, God, saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book all they were written, the days were fashioned for me when yet there was none of them." David says this, God saw me first, then my mama felt me inside her womb. God saw me. God knew me. God formed me. God made me. He said this, formed in the inward parts of you, covered me. You did something. God, you made me. God, you're the beginning of life. I wasn't just known when I came to the earth. You knew me before I was even formed. God's the beginning of life. God's the beginning of life. So when I choose life, listen to me, and I don't want to make anybody nervous this morning, but let me just say this, because I really didn't want to get into this too much, but I'm going to tiptoe a little bit this morning. When you say, "I choose life," what you're saying, "I choose life" means I value life. I value life. I value life. So in my consciousness, in my decision, I would challenge, if I could say it this way, any pro-choice stance. I would challenge any pro-choice stance. Because if God is the giver of life, and God is the beginner of life, anything that tries to take life must be stopped. And the intriguing part of anybody who has a pro-choice stance is that people who already have life are determining if others can have life. The choice has already been made for them. They've already given themselves. The person that gave birth to them allowed them to have life. And so God is the beginning of all life. So let me just challenge you. I'm going to say this. I'm already there. For a Christian, abortion can't be an option. For a Christian, abortion cannot be an option. You must choose the sanctity of life. Women, let me say this. If you've had an abortion, God is a forgiver. God is merciful. God is kind. And God will help you and heal you. There is no condemnation. There is no judgment. But you must make up your mind from this day forward. I choose the sanctity of life. God is the beginning of all life. So listen to me. If I have brought or if I have impregnated myself with another, you don't do it yourself. I know the process. If I've impregnated myself, if I've gotten pregnant and maybe I didn't want it, maybe it was someone I'm not with now, that does not give me the option to not allow that to happen. God will make a way. I guarantee you, He'll make a way. He'll make a way. Let me just challenge, I'm already there, let me say it. One sin should not open the door or lead you to have another sin. God is the beginning of all life. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, it's very interesting. It says the tree of life, this is in the book of Genesis, was in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life represents life like God's life, peace, joy, fulfillment. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents self-rule or humanism. I don't need God. I want to live my life apart from God. Let me encourage you, don't move your life away from the life of God. You need to choose life. You need to realize God is the beginner. God gave life from the beginning. God wants me to fight for it. God wants me to defend it. I'm not going to put someone's life out. That's why He's against murder. Murder's different than our guys and gals that have to go on foreign field and are involved with killing. There's things that go on there because of the country we live in. It's different. We have to stay and fight for the life of God. God is the beginner of life. God's the one who controls how long you live. Fight for life. I choose life. So that means I'm going to choose life for me, life for the people get aged, and life, I'm going to fight for the life of the unborn. Getting quiet in here. Must have hit a chord. Number two, when you say, I choose life, you're saying, God's Word reveals God's life. God's Word reveals God's life. You're not going to get life apart from the Word of God. God and His Word are one, the Scripture says and tells us over and over again. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. It says this, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, those words, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Notice again, your words are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Your words are life. Come on, say that with me, will you? Your words are life. Are life. Now listen, they're life, but they're only life to those who find them. Find them. Only life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. So there has to continually be a discovery of God's Word in your life. You just can't go through life and just say, well, now I'm a Christian, so I don't need to read the Bible. I don't need to hear the Bible. I don't need to saturate myself in the Word of God. I don't need to be around people, you know, believing the same way I believe. I can do whatever I want to do. No. For you to walk in God's life and to choose life means I have to stay in line with the Word of God. I have to continually feed myself the Word of God. Let me challenge you. If the only time you're getting spiritual food is here at the church, you're going to be a person who's not operating the God kind of life to the highest degree you can. choose life. When you say, I choose life, I'm choosing the Word of God, that means I have to have a regular feeding. How many of y'all are going to eat after church today? Come on, you want to eat after church today? Yeah. So me eating after church, me eating in the morning, me eating at night, and come on, some snacks in between. Come on, can I get an amen? Yeah, a little snackeration going on. I have to continually have the Word of God around my life. I have to continually having a regular flow of the Word of God in my life. When you say I choose life, I'm going to choose to stay in God's Word. I'm going to allow the Word of God to affect me and affect my decisions, because He says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those who find them. I got to keep finding the Word of God. Let me challenge you. Don't get tired of reading the Word of God. Don't speed read, but just read the Word of God. God's Word reveals God's life. Jesus said this in John 6:63. He says, the words that I speak to you, their spirit, notice, and their life. I'm just not talking about normal things, natural things. The words that I speak to you, he tells the people he's talking to and to us. The words I'm speaking, they have spiritual impact. They're different than the words you're going to hear at work tomorrow. They're different than the words that you're going to hear at the mall. They're different than the words you're going to hear just with your friends talking about natural things, whether it's, you know, Christmas season and ornaments and what you're doing and what you're going to decorate and what you're buying. Just normal talk. The words God's speaking, the words Jesus are speaking are spirit words, and they are full of life. You need that in your life. Reading God's Word, is Paul says this, God's Word is like God-breathed. God speaking, the very life of God is coming out of God. Every time He opens His mouth, every time He says something to us in the written Word, every time you hear something in your prayer life, that is the life of God, God speaking to you. Read God's Word. It's revealing God's life. Life that you can live on His terms. So reading God's Word, listen, reading God's Word is the same thing as having a personal conversation with God. It's the same thing. When you read God's Word, it's God talking to you. So don't look at it and kind of go, well, it's a dead book, and I don't know, and that was written a couple thousand years ago. What's that got to do with me in 2016? Everything. His Word is life to you right now. It'll help you personally in your own life, bringing you peace, bringing you joy, causing healing in your life, causing you to see the purpose and the plan of God, causing you to move forward in the direction that God's got for your life. His Word will change every area of your life. So just don't say this is a Sunday thing. Don't just say this is, you know, my spiritual life, but it's got nothing to do with my physical life or my marriage life or my financial life or my relational life. His Word will bring life to every area of your life. Every area of your life. I mean, even Peter, come on. It's like, you know, Peter was a guy that would constantly stick his foot in his mouth, and he's one of Jesus' disciples. And he says this after Jesus gives a knockdown, drag-out sermon. I mean, this was after in John chapter 6, after Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes, fed the people, and then they're asking for a sign, and Jesus says, man, unless you drink my blood, you know, and eat my flesh, you're not going to be part of me. And they're like going, whoa, this is crazy stuff. And he's just saying, what he's saying is, you got to be all in. Everything about your life has to be revolved around me. My life doesn't revolve around you. Your life needs to revolve around me. Come on, not just a little Jesus to do me. No, all my life has got to be revolved around you. Or I'm never going to enjoy my life on your terms. My life and your life will never equal if I don't surrender my entire life to you. That's what he's saying there. And so after this message, man, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, y'all going to go too? Because everybody left him. Nobody could handle this. This was just a tough sermon. Everybody left him. Read it. And he looks around and he says, you guys going to go too? And Peter says this in John 6:68. He says, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Notice, you have the words, he says, of eternal life. He's speaking like natural things, talking about natural things that they could understand, whether it's seed or farming or all kinds of things. He's bringing heavenly, talking about parables, things that they could understand. But Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. So notice me. If Peter says that, and he's walked with Jesus, and he realizes he's saying things and he's a part of things that aren't just natural. If he sees that and recognizes that, I would encourage you to do the same. You, Jesus, have words of eternal life for me. So now I've got to think about how I order my life around your word. Your word is going to reveal your life. Jesus even said this in Matthew. He said this, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words are not going to pass away. How many know that's a crazy scripture? Heaven, the heavens and the earth. The Bible says that this earth that we're living in, that we so are in love with, if we could say it that way. Man, I love, man, want to go hang out, want to have fun, and you know, just whatever. He says this, everything we see is going to melt like with fervent heat, going to pass away. The heavens above us is going to be new heavens. All the stuff that we see, all going to be passed away. But Jesus says this, what's never going to pass away is my words. If that's true, which I bank my life on, and I think you do too, then we need to give ourselves to studying the word, to hearing the word, to acting on the word, because God's word is going to reveal God's life. And so if you need an answer in your life about whatever, let me encourage you. When you read the word, God's going to start talking to you. He's going to reveal truth to you. He's going to give you answers. So when you say, I choose life, what you're saying is, I choose the word of God. I choose the word of God. Because the word of God is going to constantly reveal to me the very life of God. God and his word are one. They're not separate things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. So when you're reading the Word, again, I can't stress it enough, you're having a personal conversation with God. I wish Jesus were here. Can I tell you something? If you read the Bible, and you read it like from, let's say, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you say, I just wish I was like back in the day when Peter was there, or John, and I wish I could see Jesus. You know, there's not any description in the Bible about what Jesus looked like. John didn't write about it. Matthew didn't write about it. Luke, who was a doctor who wrote about Jesus' life after the fact, he wasn't one of the 12. John was there. Mark, they didn't, no description. He was about 5'11", about 180 pounds. You should have seen his brown flowing hair. He had a voice like Frank Sinatra. Not one description. Because that didn't matter. That did not matter. What mattered was what he said. And can I tell you why you and I have it better? Because if you were John and you were in Capernaum, and Jesus was in Jericho, you had no contact. The Bible says, Jesus said this, when I go away, I'm going to send someone just like myself who's going to be with you and in you, called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now lives in the believer and reveals to you the voice of the Father and the voice of Jesus, the word of the Father, the word of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he will show you and tell you things to come. He will guide you into all the truth. How many know that's good news? I wish Jesus was here. No, you don't. Because if Jesus was here, you'd still be in your sin. He went to the lower part of the earth. He was raised, and now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on, everybody. Now, through the person of the Holy Spirit, you have a guidance system on the inside of you. You have a new leader on the inside of you. So every time you're reading the word, every time you say, the devil fights me. My flesh fights me to read the word. Do something else. Be busy. It'll fight you. You see that? See, we think that if Jesus was here, we'd kind of go, oh, Jesus is here. Set the table. Come on. Make the carne asada. And let's have that great little juice. Jesus is coming. Every day I need to get excited when I read the word. Same thing. Jesus, I get to have a time with Jesus to hear Jesus. Come on, Jesus, you want a coffee today? I know you do. No one want a coffee? Sit right here. Let's talk. And I read, open the Bible, and God's talking. And God's Word is revealing His life to me and you. So come on, look at your neighbor and say, get in the book. Come on, get in the book, get in the book, get in the book. Come on, get in the book. Or some of y'all go, get in the phone. Would you read the phone? Read your app. Read your Bible app. Read your Bible app. Maybe we should say that, huh? Come on, God's the beginning of life, number one. Number two, God's Word reveals God's life. We're doing all right, everybody? We're doing all right? Come on, number three, write it down. Real life is found in the person Jesus. Real life is found in the person Jesus. The Bible says this about John 1:4, in Him was life. That's all it says. In Him was life. In Him was life. It actually says the life was the light of men. In Him, in Jesus, was life. What's interesting about this, again, this isn't just talking about natural life. This word life is a crazy, crazy, deep word. It actually is a word where we get the word Zoe, Z-O-E. It actually means the God kind of life, absolute fullness. In Him was the God kind of life, absolute fullness. Everything of God the Father was embodied in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they're one. They all live. They all flow. They all stay in this God kind and God quality of life. Eternal life and this kind of life only comes to you and me when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. So let me say it this way so we can understand. Notice on the screen. God grants physical life by conception, not your choosing. The people who are called a mom or a dad, whether you know them or not, they made a choice and there was a natural physical conception. You're the result of that. God grants physical life by conception, but God grants spiritual life by reception. That is your choosing. That is your choosing. I didn't choose to get here. Bud and Joanna Isbell, they got together. Come on, somebody. Sometime in 1959, I was the result in 1960. Come on, somebody. But as a little kid who came to church time after time, I heard the Word of God, and God granted me spiritual life by me receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Eternal life came that way. Life is found in a person. This eternal life is a great, great word, because when we think about eternal life, guys, I know as a kid I used to think about this, and I hear it at the church all the time I grew up with, that eternal life means a duration of life, means heaven's my home, eternal life, the duration of life. I'm always going to be with God. But it's not just the duration of life, it's also the quality of life. So God allows you and me to live a life above just natural existence. A quality of life, listen to me, this is hard to understand, but the Bible says it, that we can walk in eternal life even though we're living a physical life. We can walk above the elements of the world, listen, fear and negativity and sin and heartache and stress and worry and hate and racism and whatever you want to name, greed and lust and avarice and all gossip. We can live all above that, not because of self-will and just trying to be a good person. No, because of the eternal life of God inside your spirit. We can live life on God's terms. Not just a length of life, a duration of life, but a quality of life because of the person Jesus Christ. He changes your life. He lifts you from living just a natural existence, as we found out David said, you formed me in my inward parts. Before I even came forth physically, I was known by you in heaven. I've got a spiritual life, then I've got a physical life. And we were at a conference a couple weeks ago, Kimberly and I, and we heard this guy tell a story, and it was just brilliant how he brought it to bear. He said, if you ever think about, I hope I can say it without being too offensive, he was Irish, so he could get away with it, I think. But he was telling the story about how we all came to bear, to be born on the earth. and that through the conception process, through the connection from a man, your dad and your mom, you came to birth. But how many know through that process, there was about 300 million of you trying to get to that egg? 300 million trying to get to that egg. And can I tell you, you're the result. So if you ever think you're not special, come on. You got a 300 million to one odds. Come on, everybody. You made it. Come on, somebody. Come on. Can you say swim, brother? Swim. Come on. Just swim. So you're already strong. God's already got a plan for your life. You made it here. You made it here. God's given you life. So now He gave you physical life. So you're choosing spiritual life, choosing to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, allows you to tap into something other than physical life. It's eternal life. You can live life at a higher level. I choose life. I choose life. And Jesus said this. Look real quick in John chapter 4. Jesus said this to that woman at the well. Isn't it an interesting story there? You should read that sometime. This woman, he's having a dialogue with this woman, and he says, whoever drinks this water at this well water, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give will never thirst. But the water that I shall give will become within him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Jesus says, I'm going to give you something. The woman says, how are you going to get something to drink? You haven't got a cup. How are you going to get down there and get that water in the well? And Jesus says, listen, girl, you don't even know who's talking to you. You don't even know who's talking to you. The water I'm going to give you will satisfy your thirst. But the water that I give you of who I am, if you'll allow me to be the Lord of your life, you will have a continual spring. Notice this, not physical life. It's not the fountain of youth. You're going to get better looking and not have that collagen shot. Come on, somebody. Botox and the life that I'm going to give you is going to spring up to everlasting life. Real life is found in the person Jesus Christ. Come on, lastly, let me just tell you this. Let's look at this. Even if you're going through a situation right now, even if something around you looks dead, Jesus can give it life. I can't challenge your thinking about this strong enough to me this morning, with me this morning, I should say. Is that I think we go through life and we kind of think, okay, well, maybe I'm talking about like a Christian, somebody that's made Jesus the Lord of their life. And you go through and it's like the dream dies, something doesn't work, and that turns around, that goes negative. And we just kind of think, that's just it. It's just the way it is. Over and over, we find the contrary in the Word of God. When anything dead was around Jesus, Jesus always lifted it. He always raised it. Whether it was people, whether it was dreams, whether it was hopes, whether it was beliefs, they didn't think they couldn't do something, Jesus would always challenge that thought. He would always challenge dead things to become life-giving things again. Even when we know that Jesus was there in John chapter 11, and Jesus was there at the grave of Lazarus, and Mary and Martha, his sisters, came, and the brother had been dead for 4 days, Jesus says to them, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You don't know who's in front of you. You think the situation's over. Let me tell you what, I'm going to raise that. I'm going to give life to that again. So listen to me. If you've got something dead in your life, if your health seems dead, if relationships seem dead, if the ability to move forward in a career seems like it's dead, God will always give life. He'll always give life. Don't believe the lie. Stay and trust God that the dead situation will be turned to be a life-giving situation again. We see this principle, guys. Just listen to me in closing. We see this principle in Romans chapter 4 when it talks about Abraham, the father of faith. If you remember the story, Abram was 75 years old and he couldn't have kids. And his wife at the time was 65, couldn't have kids. And God comes to him and God starts talking to him about having a physical child. And through that physical child, there would be a spiritual nation that would be born called the nation of Israel, the Jewish population, the Hebrews. It had its beginning in Abraham. And he couldn't have any kids. And God takes him outside and says, look at the stars. That's how many kids you're going to have. He wasn't talking necessarily about physical kids, but about spiritual kids. But it was going to come through a physical birth of a son 25 years later called Isaac. Here's what Paul talks about it. We don't see this in the book of Genesis to this extent, although God changed Abraham's name. His name was Abram. God changed it to Abraham. Abraham means a father of a multitude. In other words, God calls him something he's not, even though he's walking in that right now. You don't have kids, but I'm calling you a father. Call your wife a mother of a multitude, a princess of the nations. God changes their name. And so Paul looks at this in the book of Romans chapter 4 and in verse 17. It says this, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Wow. God looks at dead things and say, we ain't calling it dead no more. We're calling it life. Amen. Calling it life. Maybe you've got some situations in your life that you need to quit calling it like it is and putting the life of God on it. Call it. Speak the word of God over it. Come on, somebody. Speak the word of God. If it's your relationship, if it's your body, if it's your mind, if it's something in your body, if it's your money, if it's your job, if it's your career, if it's your family, start speaking the word of God that will bring everlasting life into the situation. Don't call it what it is. Call it what God says it is. He calls things that be not as though they were. I call you a father of multitude, and you haven't even had one child. God wants you and I to think this way. He takes Ezekiel and he takes him to a valley, the Bible says in Ezekiel 37. It says, full of dry, dead bones scattered. And he asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, only you know, God. And he says, prophesy to them. Say, bones live. Release the word of God. Speak the word of God. If it's dead, it can live again. Talk to your body. Talk to your cells. Talk to your joints. Talk to your breathing. Your spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. This is the body. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This thing hears me. And the me I'm talking about is me, the spirit man who's made in the image and the likeness of God. This will not dominate me. God's word is going to dominate me. Out there is not going to dominate me. The world, no dominating you. So I'm talking to fear. I'm talking to worry. I'm talking to lust. I'm talking to greed. I'm talking to anxiety. Not going to be in my life. I'm going to think on God. I'm going to let the life of God work in me. I'm going to believe God. If things are dead, they're going to be raised again. It's not over. Come on, somebody. Come on. It's not over. Come on. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's really interesting. In the book of Revelation, just I'm winding down. I know I got about 7 wind downs. I know. In the book of Revelation, it's really interesting. There's a tree of life. There's a river of life. And there's a book of life. Revelation 22. There's a tree of life, there's a river of life, and there's a book of life. The Bible says the tree of life yields fruit every month. In the leaves of the tree is for the healing of the nations. Interesting. All the sin, all the hurt, all the wars, all the conquests, all the nations that have been pillaged and all the... Since the beginning, there's a tree of life in heaven for the healing of the nations. The tree of life, let me challenge you, for us today, speaking, have your roots. Have your roots grounded in God's life. Not my physical life, my roots grounded in God's spiritual life. There's a river of life. A river of life. A river speaks of things that are flowing. things that are moving. There's a current. If I'm going to stay in life, I've got to stay, again, picture with me, in the current of life, in the current of God's life. If I get sidetracked and I want to do my own thing, I kind of like take my boat, take my canoe out of the river and I want to go my own way, there's no life. There's no life. There's a river of life flowing from heaven that flows to us. There's a current. Stay in the current. Stay in the current. And there's a book of life. The Bible says, for everyone that makes Jesus the Lord of their life, it's mentioned, by the way, 7 times in the book of Revelation, the book of life. It's very important. It says your name written in the book of life. So listen to me. Speaking of that today, that my name is written in the book of life, that I must now have my identity with what He's written in the book. My identity isn't in my flesh, isn't in what I want to do. My identity isn't in my job and my career. As a dad, a mom, a business person, an entrepreneur, my identity is found in God's book called the Bible. A tree of life with roots. I need to be rooted. Be rooted in God. Be rooted in God's life. I will not get uprooted from God's purpose and plan in my life. There's a river of life. I want to stay in the flow. I want to stay in the current. I want to stay connected with what God's doing. I want to move where He says move. I want to go where He says go. And there's a book of life that my name's written in that's got the number of my days. We read it in Psalm 139. That's what David was talking about in Psalm 139. There's a book with my name in it that's got everything I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to fulfill. So a challenge for me constantly is, am I in the right chapter, oh God, of the book? Am I on the right page of the book? Is the book you have written of me, am I fulfilling it right now? Am I several chapters behind? Have I even opened the book? Have I even begun to do what you called me to do? It begins by you making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And when you do that, He'll give you eternal life, the Bible says. And from that point and from that standpoint, your life then has to revolve around His life and His purpose and His way and His will. No longer am I thinking, this is my life and I'll do whatever I want to do with it. No. When I come to Jesus, I have to surrender my life, surrender my dream, surrender my will, surrender my ambition, and say, now You're the Lord of my life, and Your life flowing through me will direct me like a river and will ground me like a tree and will cause my life to continually move forward in the pages, in the book, in the chapter You have for me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So Paul said. Now, let me just say this in closing, is that something happened to me 34 years ago that I hope has happened to you. And if not, I can talk to you a little bit more about it at the end of the service if you'd like. And just let me talk to you. Is that when I was a 20-year-old kid, I came to church like ours, and my mom and dad had experienced what I'm about to talk to you about. And it just changed their life. They were raised in church. They were good people, my mom and dad. But something happened in the late 60s. I know that's eternity ago for some of you. Late 60s. And they began hearing about this person called the Holy Spirit. They heard about Jesus in the church that they were in, but Jesus was almost like off somewhere. And yet they started hearing about the person of the Holy Spirit and how He would bring the will and the plan of God to their life in a new way. And how when Jesus came, like we said a moment ago, he said, I'm going to send someone just like myself called the Holy Spirit. And so they were in their late 30s and they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, when I was a 20-year-old kid in between second and third year at university, my life was a wreck. I was doing my own thing. I was good on the outside, but I was dead on the inside. full of fear, full of negativity, all kind of drugs and crazy stuff doing, like maybe some of you. But when this person called the Holy Spirit came into my life, can I just say it this way? Instantly my life changed. My desire to sin, my desire for wrong things, instantly changed. Instantly changed. And I'll show you why in just a second of this scripture. I want you to hear it in closing. But before I do, let me just say it this way. Being filled with the Spirit, and when I mean that, I'm talking about speaking in tongues. Because anyone who makes Jesus the Lord of their life, the Holy Spirit's the one who draws them to Him. The Holy Spirit's the agent. He comes to live inside us. But there's another experience called being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened to my parents, and this is what happened to me. And it's still available for us today. So being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, keeps God's life flowing, three things, in you, to you, and through you. It keeps God's life flowing in you, to you, and through you. Why do you say that? Because in John chapter 7, and here's where we'll close, verse 38, Jesus stands up on the last day, this great day of the feast, and He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. John 7, 37. If anyone thirsts, let him come to Me and drink. He who believes in Me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Notice this. Out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now notice what He says. But this He spoke concerning the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What that says in verse 39 is that when Jesus was here on the earth, the Holy Spirit and this experience could not happen. But Jesus says, when I go, I'm going to send someone just like myself called the Holy Spirit. And if you're thirsty, after I leave, there's one that's going to come called the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, Acts tells us you're going to receive a heavenly language called the ability to speak in other tongues. And that ability to speak in other tongues, listen to me, isn't weird. It isn't natural. It is supernatural. It's not for a show. It's not so you can do it in front of people. It's not a weird thing. It's to be a personal, private communication between you and God mainly. When you don't know what to pray, how do I pray for my wife? How do I pray for my kids? How do I pray about the future? I don't know. But there's a life-giving one called the Holy Spirit on the inside of you now. And when you give yourself to pray in those other tongues, the Bible says it will strengthen you, it will speak to you, it will encourage you, it will edify you, it'll reveal truth to you, you'll be able to be guided by someone on the inside of you. And Jesus said here, out of your heart will flow, look at it again, verse 37, out of your heart will flow, verse 38, rivers of living water. Life-giving water. Listen to me. You can have the greatest friend in the world, and they can text you and build you up every day. They can FaceTime you and say, you're the greatest. But let me tell you what, if you got no internet connection, like when I was in Colombia, had no internet connections a couple times, how many of us frustrating? Can't be connected. But now I found a life-giving source who has left heaven and now who lives inside me called the Holy Spirit. So let me just close the service this way. If you don't know Jesus and you've never made Him Lord of your life, He is the way, the truth, and the life. When you say, I choose life, you're saying, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. And if you've not made that, we'll pray that prayer in just a few moments. But also, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with that being able to pray in that heavenly language, I want to encourage you. I'm going to be right up here after church. Come up. Let me talk to you. Let me pray with you. As a 20-year-old kid, it changed my life. And so for 36 years now, I've been praying in tongues in my personal prayer life every single day. Under my breath, in my car, in the shower, putting on clothes, private time, public time with other people when it's appropriate. It wouldn't be appropriate to pray in tongues right now. My private time, my personal time, my devotional time with God. And the Bible says when you do that, you have a direct line of communication to God. You might not be able to understand everything. You won't be able to understand everything. But the Bible says, number one, it's prayer. And number two, God hears. And there's no prayer God hears, He doesn't answer. So Paul asked the church in Acts chapter 18, asked some people, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard if there is a Holy Spirit. And he began talking to them. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that's you this morning. If you're curious and if you're interested, I'd love to talk to you. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. Pray in tongues. Be strengthened. Be built up. But again, I can't stress it enough. He changed my life. And I'm telling you, this morning, right now, tough week coming up, tough week last week maybe, makes no difference. He'll come in your life right now and He'll bring the life of God in a new way. So whether I have a great friend or not, I'll be hooked up to living water in a new way. Out of your belly is going to flow. I'll be able to pray in an unknown tongue, and there'll be a flow of living water that will strengthen me in my relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Thanks for listening this morning. Come on, stand up. Come on, bow your head. Would you do that right there? This is your time. Maybe you've been away from God. Maybe you're just drawn near to God. You're just saying, I choose life today. I'm choosing life. I've been separated from God. I've been kind of doing my own thing. But today I'm just making some adjustments right now in my heart. So say this with me. If you've prayed it before, or maybe you've never prayed it before, let's just make a declaration and ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Let's ask Him. Come on, say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to You today. I'm in need of a Savior. And I've been hearing all day, His name is Jesus. So I'm making a decision to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. So I turn from my way and I run Your way. I believe in my heart and I say it with my mouth. Jesus is Lord. If you prayed that, the Bible says right now, you're saved. Eternal life has just entered into your spirit. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, if any man makes Jesus the Lord of their life, old things pass away, all things have become new. You have just entered into all things becoming new. Becoming new. Now listen, right there while your head's bowed, your eyes closed. I just want to do this. And then again, we'll pray this about the person of the Holy Spirit filling our lives today. Everybody. And you might say, God, I don't know why I'm not ready. Well, how about you just pray this and let's see what God does for you. Let your faith rise up to Him. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. We'll ask the Holy Spirit to come into our life, that Jesus would baptize us, that's what He says, with the Holy Spirit. And then, immediately after the service, I'll be right here. Allow me to talk to you. I got a free book I'll give to you. I so want you. I so want you to have the person of the Holy Spirit in your life in a new way. So come on, let's just pray this. Dear Father, I'm asking You today, by the person Jesus Christ, to fill me to full with the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the ability to speak in that heavenly language. I need the Holy Spirit. And I receive Him right now in Jesus' name. Come on, can you just lift your hands all across the room? Can we just do that for a second? We just lift our hands and we just say, thank You, Father, for Jesus. Thank You, Father, for the Holy Spirit. There's things we don't understand. There's things we don't know, but You said we need Him. We don't understand praying in tongues. How am I going to say something I don't understand? Father, You said it's going to come from our belly, come from our heart, come from where we're born again, come from where the life of God is. Thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for life. Listen, just 15 more seconds while your hands are raised. Maybe you're a woman that you've had an abortion. Maybe you're a man that you were part of that decision and you forced a girl to do that. Forced your wife, forced a girlfriend. Father, there's forgiveness for every person in this room today. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You're a merciful and a faithful forgiver. Father, we just receive mercy today. Heal every hurt. Heal every wound, oh God. Restore every person in this place today. Thank you for the very love of God, the life of God. We magnify you in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody, say amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Yeah. So again, we can pray with you. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be the only prayer partner. Listen, prayer partners, y'all stay back there. Pray for somebody back there. If you want prayer partners, you go back there. I'm going to come up here. So if you want to know about the Holy Spirit even a little bit more and say, can I be real, real? If you go, hey, I'm not so sure about that. You know, if you just kind of go, I just don't believe that. Just come here, talk to me. Talk to me. I'll show you some stuff. At least let's go through the Word of God a little bit. Can we do that? Maybe. Because again, 20-year-old guy. Last thing I'll say. Thank you. Forgive me. 20-year-old guy. Listen, 20-year-old guy. One night, crazy. Listen, one night, crazy. Next night, crazy, but crazy for God. Come on, everybody. How? The Holy Spirit. He was the ingredient. He was the ingredient. Amen. Love you. God bless you. Bring someone with you next week. Promise I won't talk so long. In Jesus' name. Amen.